You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM, serving southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and also northern Delaware on the radio itself. And if you're on the internet, just go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. Also, if you have Alexa, go to Alexa 860 AM Radio. Now, that advertisement that we heard as the welcome to our broadcast was done a few years ago by Henry Chaplinsky and his family. And it's really interesting when you hear that. Isn't it about time for a change? Boy, if those words are not as true as they were written at that time. Wow. Very good, Henry. Tell the kids I said only the best. As always, I ask that you contact family members and friends and invite them to tune in. And then sit back, relax, and enjoy, because we're going to talk some common sense issues today. I'd like to first of all thank the people who join us on a regular basis. Larkin Connolly, and he is the small business advocate. Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration. Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store. And Curtis Ellis, who is the main person involved with the American First Project, really doing his job. Our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I am Michael Blihash. And boy, oh boy, the weather's been kind of crazy. The trees were falling and all the pollens around there now. So just be prepared. Enjoy yourself. Wearing a mask in this pollen might be the thing to do. Well, as we begin today, I'd like to just make a few little statements, and then I'm going to go to our panel members. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I feel that the national news media needs to change their focus. There's simply too much reporting on negative news, and it's creating a lot of division here in the United States of America. The national news media should stop talking about dividing people by race, color, and creed, and discuss how quickly people can get back to work so they can be happy and without stress once again. This is something that's not being talked about. And you know, many of the times you're looking at the media and they play the same file tapes over and over, so people think it's going on at that time. But it's a lot of file tapes, and we have to get, you know, back into a different state of mind. Also, I want everybody to know, and I'm sure that all of you fit in the same category, I want people to know that I have always been a great promoter of American workers' livelihoods, because American workers' livelihoods matter to me. Everybody, race, color, creed means nothing. If you have a job, you're happy. If you have a job, you can support yourself. If you have a job, there is nothing you can do, because you look for things to happen that for the better, you can up your skills, gain more compensation. It's all up to the individual. Not one of us here can say, I'm going to make you more of a success. Those are phony baloney lines that people give. Oh, I'm going to make you bigger than you are. You know, the impossible dream is often impossible. It's time for us to discuss businesses here in the United States, which are really the backbone of America's economy. And let's get this stuff again. All the looting and the destruction, it means nothing. Somebody is hurt in the end, an insurance company, a business owner. It's really not good. So let's today try to focus a little more on businesses. Now that things are beginning to open up, we have to beg you to go out and support those businesses, because They really are the backbone of America. I want to go to Rich Loges. Rich, you've been watching all of this in the media, and you've been watching how the businesses have been talking about how they all want to get back to work. What is your feeling how it's moving along right now?
Well, good morning, Michael and Lark, and welcome back on. I'm going to make a comment later near Larkin's neck of the woods, something that happened recently, just the last few days, actually. But before I do that, Michael, I'm 43 years old, and I've accelerated my grumpy old man phase by about 20 years. So, as George Carlin once said, I'm ahead of my time, but only by an hour and a half. And I have the same question today, Michael. Now, well, let me backtrack for a moment. I've been reading various articles in large cities across the country, Austin, Philadelphia, Minneapolis, some cities in California, the larger cities, because I was curious how many actual young people got arrested for alleged, we say alleged still, I think we still believe in due process and the right to counsel in this country. And I found, Michael, that there were numerous young people arrested for alleged looting, breaking and entering, etc., during these riots. So I have the same question today, Mark, that I had last week. It's the overarching question, Michael, of my book, 10 Warning Signs Your Child is Becoming a Democrat, How to Make America Grown Up Again. And that question is, where were their parents? Where were they? Where are they right now? What are they doing right now, Mark? A teenager arrested in Austin, Texas, or Dallas, Texas, or San Francisco, or Philadelphia, or New York City. What are their parents doing right now, do we think? Is anyone? I don't know. I'm asking. You know, being our audio engineer, who makes us sound great every week, swing voter in a swing state, going to earn and more than ever need a swing voters on our side. Where were their parents, Michael? Did any parents get interviewed on Don Lemon or Chris Hayes or Chris Wallace on Fox? Does anyone know? Does anyone out there know where their parents are?
That's a wonderful question, Rich. Where are their parents?
Like an idiot, I sound like I'm in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Larkin, asking the same question over and over again. Where are? But no one answers it. Where are they? I want to know, for their sake, Michael. Not because I believe it takes a village. If you want it takes a village, you need to get to the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can have all that it takes a village you want there. And no, we're not all in this together. We're in the same ocean, but none of us are in the same boat. So for the sake of these kids, before someone kills them out of self-defense, where are their parents, Mark?
Very good question, Rich.
I don't know. I'm sitting here wondering.
Very good question. You know, as I look at some of the parents and families of my own, I'll tell you, those parents are doing such a wonderful job governing these kids. I mean, it's been a lot of work having the kids home from school. Many of the parents, remember, are not teachers themselves, and they have jobs. They're doing their jobs on their computers. The kids are doing their jobs on another computer. It's been a very stressing time. But there's still a lot of questions unanswered. We know where a lot of the parents are. They're working with their kids. But where are the parents that allow their kids to walk in gangs and do these kinds of things? I agree 100%. The thing that's really interested me was they said that on social media, they can put out an alert, and in a half an hour, they would get hundreds of people responding from the area to go out there and protest and whatever.
Michael, the New York Times last week, I sent you guys the article, wrote a how-to. If you're a teenager, and if you're a parent of a teenager, if you want to join the protest, here's how to do it safely. Now, mind you, the same parents who sent their kids into protest, Michael, are the same parents who elected the Democrat lawmakers who say, let's keep the country shut down. You can't have it both ways, Michael, in the adult world. That ain't the way the adult world works. So the same people who told you and me and Henry and Mark and Larkin and Curtis and everyone else are, no, keep it shut down. Let's put the emergency brake on the most thriving, vibrant economy in the history of mankind. No, we got to keep it shut down because, of course, the GOP, they're going to go kill grandma and grandpa. Those same people told their little Timmy and their little Jennifer, whatever names they are, go out into the streets, honey. It's okay. Take a mask. Don't forget the mask, Larkin. Is anyone else in the country, is anyone else actually disgusted by this? And Larkin, just as a side note, Larkin doesn't live in Jacksonville. You know Jacksonville, a so-called Republican city? Do you know that they're going around taking down Confederate monuments, a so-called Republican city? You know what the mayor said? The mayor said he quote, evolved. What he actually said. So what use is the GOP? What use are they? They get elected to give the Dems what they... Did anyone knock on doors, give money, vote for lawmakers to go get the other... You chose a side, Michael, in an election precisely because you didn't want the other side. So the people chosen now say to the opposition, oh, let's give them what they want?
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Mike. I'm just...
But, Rich, the bottom line is anybody spending any time concerned about getting those businesses open and getting those people off unemployment and back into the workplace? You know, working in human services, the majority of the people I work with, especially the middle age, no one is happy about this. They want to get back to work. They don't like the fact that the whole mall was shut down. It's totally shut down. You can't walk in. Some of these people own stores, work at stores. They're just shut out of a job. And the PPP, that was a wonderful program, that lasted for 8 weeks. We're now in the 13th week of this pandemic. And there's no possibility that those people... So on the ninth week, the people were encouraged to go on unemployment, at which time they would get that additional money for being unemployed. So this thing has just gone on and on and on.
Michael, one last point, and I need to clarify something. Then we get to the other guys here because I want to hear what they have to say. Sorry. I made a joke last week about sending like a lot of Democrats in Philadelphia to Denmark and Sweden. I was kidding, just in case Denmark, Sweden's listening. I don't dislike you that much. I would never do that. I would never send Democrats in Philadelphia to your countries. I have nothing against you guys, but I do want to clarify that I'm exempting out of there our audio engineer's mom. She's not going. She's allowed. She could stay. She's okay. She's not in that group. In case anyone's wondering, like I just want to make that clear. That point. So just to clarify.
Well said.
She's great. She's okay. She's with us.
Well said. How about we turn to Larkin Connolly? Larkin, you've been watching this now for 12 plus weeks. I did send out, by the way, before I go to Larkin, I have to tell you, I did request the statistics on who died in Pennsylvania as a result of the coronavirus. I did send it out to all of you. I hope you take the time to look at it because it's very, very interesting. And yes, Larkin.
Good morning, Michael, and to the rest of the crew, Henry, and our listeners. You know what it comes down to with me, Michael, is that I said this to my wife this morning, and she said, you're not the first person to say that. And I thought I had come up with something new and unique. But I'm really kind of sick and tired of being sick and tired. I really am. Have you noticed how coronavirus has completely taken the back page of every... of all newspapers, of television reporting? I even went around last night just kind of canvassing. CNN riots. Fox riots. CNBC, what's his name, that guy that got thrown off for lying to the public.
Williams.
Williams, yeah. Riots. That's kind of all they talked about. And somebody said to me the other day, you know that the head counts are up and that we're starting to go into another cycle. And I said, how do you know? Where did you hear that? So I really am just sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I know that this will go off the front page. And here's how you know. You know that when one side makes a statement like, defund the police, defund the police. I actually thought it was a comedy. I thought it was a satire sketch of some sort, but defund the police, are you serious? You know, the only really good community service police force I know of are the Bobbies in England. Well, last night I was watching the 11 o'clock news, and they showed riots in England and France and all the different places that the riots, police brutality riots were happening, and they showed London. Those weren't Bobbies moving that crowd. There wasn't a Bobby to be seen. The Bobbies went home. Because while there may be, and I don't disagree, there may be a place for community policing, you can't arm one side and say to the other side, okay, we're going to put you in a uniform, and we're going to put you in a car with four wheels and red lights on the roof, and we're going to send you out there to enforce the law, but you can't carry a gun.
Yeah, it's the old neighborhood town watch idea. They think that people in the communities are going to town watch and will be able to save money and have no accountability for what we do. It doesn't work like that, Larkin.
Okay, so you take a deep breath and you think, what happens when Bobby Sue calls 911 and says, my wife has completely lost her mind and she's shooting up the neighborhood? You're going to send a community policeman out there? No, you aren't. Either you aren't going to do that, or your attachment to reality is like a million miles apart. So when the other side or a particular side says we want to defund police, the movement is killed. It just dies. Because you're being so ridiculous, it's not even funny.
Absolutely.
And don't tell me about England. Don't tell me about Denmark. Don't tell me about any other nation. We carry guns in this country. And all of the bad people have guns. In England, if you're caught with a gun, you go to jail. So there are guns involved here. And there's just no way you can draw a comparison.
And, you know, Larkin, before I go to Curtis, I want to just say that there have been more people applying for gun licenses in the last few weeks. It's a historic high because people just want to protect themselves, their families, and their homes. You know, if you ride down some of the streets and see the businesses boarded up, why would anybody have to do that? We live in America. As I said earlier, I'm a promoter of American workers' livelihoods matter to me. When they had to put those all that plywood up in front of their properties, that shows that someone was out there disrespecting them, breaking their windows. There are places that I go out that still have not been able to get a window company to put in new windows because that's how many windows were broken during these riots. That doesn't make any sense. We're talking Northeast Philadelphia, Center City. It's just one thing after the next. It looks like we're in a war zone. And that's not what, America
Guess
is
what?
All about.
Guess what, Michael? I got news for you. If you disarm the police and allow the motoring public to all carry guns, you are in a war.
I'm not interested myself in defunding anything. I want the police to be, you know, the best that they can be, the best training that is possible, have body cameras, whatever it is to keep them safe, because I believe in the police I know and the police I see in action are good people. It's how you approach the officer when he stops you. He's doing a job too. If he stops you and you immediately attack him, well, of course, then there's confrontation. If you, the police officer stops you and you say, "Yes, officer, how can I help you? I need your license. I need this. I need that." You know, in most cases, it moves quite nicely. But if there's immediate confrontation, but there's also, you know, something that we have to do. We have to become more focused on the fact that we are to love each other, not divide each other by race, color, and creed. And that's what I'm watching in the national news media. They are dividing America more and more and more, bringing up all the stuff from 30, 40, 50 years ago. It's sad. I think that America, quite frankly, has graduated to a new point where people are looking at each other for the good that they have to offer. They're looking what they're doing. They're trying to fix up their homes in most places. Hey, let's give everybody a chance. The world is big enough. America is big enough for all of us. Let's love each other, not destroy. Doctor,
and Michael, I'd be remiss, excuse me, very quickly. I'd be remiss if I didn't make a statement. There are a handful of things that I've learned in reading about the incident in Minnesota. First of all, what I saw that policeman do to a man they were trying to arrest for a fake $20 bill.
Right.
There's no question in my mind that it's time to him, for him to pay a price to society.
Absolutely. And I don't find any person, Larkin, who would disagree with that. And when you hear the rumors that he knew this person, they worked together in some environment, it's like two friends, like one friend trying to knock down his other, the person he worked with. It was a disgrace. Yes, I hope this person will never see the light of day. It's unfortunate that the system in America, the legal system, is going to waste millions of dollars dragging him in and out of court. I think we saw it. We should be the judge and jury and say, this guy did it. He should receive his just due, period.
And one more point that I've discovered, that the press has said very, very little about. The guy that was holding this guy down by the ankles, the guy all the way at the end, this was his first day on the job. First day on the job.
Yep. Yeah. You know, I think this is where cultural sensitivity training for all police. I think the police and guards and everybody in the country has to start thinking, how would I want to be treated? And then treat them with the respect. You're innocent until proven guilty. You don't have to hold anybody down with that force unless they're really fighting you. You have no other way to get them handcuffed or whatever. You know, the police are American workers too. We have to stick up for them and, of course, give them an opportunity to get the best training possible and be the best that they are. I myself have a very good back with the police. I know many of them for years and years. They're police associations, and all they do, they come to various events. I don't have a problem with the police. However, when there is a very rough and tumble type of protest or riots or something, that's when people lose their cool. Dr. Curtis Ellis, can we hear from you?
Hey, it's so good to be here. Great conversation. A couple of things here is we've learned nothing from we've learned a lot of things from the protests, but even before the first person kneeled, before the first brick was thrown through a window, 99.99999% of Americans said, this is horrible, this is murder. What this cop did was pure and simple sadistic murder, public execution, and not even an execution because that has some kind of legal aspect to it. This is just plain and simple murder, and this guy's got to, got to fry. He's got to be held accountable and go to jail or worse, whatever. Full force of the law has to be brought against him. We have no tolerance for lawbreakers, whether they wear a uniform or whether they wear a hood. So any kind of hood, black or white. So that's where America's at. And to try to portray it as anything else, which is what we see those on the radical left trying to do, is like, oh, Americans like this kind of thing. There's structural racism. And it's a bunch of hooey. It's a bunch of malarkey, as Joe Biden would say.
But by the way, can you tell us what a structural racism mean? People ask me, I want to hear your opinion.
Yeah, what it means is a fancy way of saying, let's get rid of the American way of life. Let's get rid of the American nation. Let's get rid of private property, private enterprise, capitalism, freedom, structural racism. America is like systemic racism. Well, what system are you talking about? They're talking about the system of capitalism and private property. So that's what they're talking about, and that's absolutely nonsense. Structural racism, it's one of these academic terms that's meant to obscure meaning. They don't want to come out and say what they want to do is overthrow the government and end our way of life, overthrow the system. The old joke is capitalism is the exploitation of man by man, and communism is the exact opposite. So what they want to do is they're going to replace this structure with another structure, which is no better, it's far worse. But the thing is, we can't get lost in all of this verbiage, and we can't lose sight of the fact that these people lie. These radical leftists are lying, and the words they use are meant to obscure meaning and to hide what they're really up to. It's an old strategy of the Communist Party going back to the 30s and before, the Soviet Union, the October Revolution of 1917, is if you see a parade, jump in front of it and then claim all those people are marching for your cause, right? And so you had the peace marchers in the 1960s and the ban the bomb, right? End nuclear testing, ban the bomb, get rid of nuclear weapons. And these were people well-intentioned, maybe a little naive. And the communists would jump in front of that because it's like, well, the United States gets rid of its nuclear weapons, that'll be better for the Soviet Union, they'll have a monopoly. And in the 1930s, they did the same thing. They came out against the Communist Party USA, to its credit, I guess, came out against segregation and the persecution and the oppression of black people in America. But they said what they wanted to do was set up a separate country for black people in the South. So this was the way to divide America and to bring it down. Mm-hmm. And maybe some of them, Paul Robeson, famous singer, he's a famous communist and a beautiful, talented singer. He actually wanted to end the discrimination against black people. The Communist Party in Moscow, they were just using that, and they were more interested in destroying America any way they could. So we see this brutality and this murder by this cop, and you've got them now saying, oh, we need structural racism, we need structural reform, we need to end structural systemic racism. And what they're saying is defund the police, get rid of the police, get rid of capitalism. It's this oppression of black people is rooted in the capitalist system, and once we have the government running everything, it's all going to be hunky-dory. Well, look at Cuba. Cuba had its communist revolution, and the government is still run by white people down there. The majority of the government, the majority of the Cuban population is black. They're the descendants of slaves that worked on the sugar plantations. But who's, look at Fidel, look at his brother. I mean, Fidel, you have to dig a grave to look at him. You have to exhume him. But you look at the pictures of Fidel. You look at the pictures of Cienfuegos and Che Guevara and all of the ruling class and the people who run Cuba, they're all white. They're whiter than me, you know. So, you know, I guess racism doesn't go away magically when you institute communism. But that's not the point. The point is to institute communism. The point is not to get rid of racism. That's just an excuse. That's a simple... And now they've determined that the revolutionary class in America is not the proletariat, not the working class, because working people just want a house in the suburbs and, a vacation and raise their kids and give their kids a good standard of living and a good education. So the working class is not the revolutionary class in America. They've decided the revolutionary class in America are the non-white people and the gays and the women and whatever, the transgenders. They got to find a new class to be the vanguard of the revolution here. So you can't take these people at their word. We can argue the points they're making. They say defund the police. They're going to refund once they get what they want. They're going to forget about defunding the police immediately. That's just a talking point. That's just a way to get people out in the streets. They want to, yes, they want to defang the police because the police are not on their side. But they will have a police force if they get their way and they take over the government. They will have a police force, and it will be very well armed. And you will be required to follow the rules that they set down. Make no mistake. The other thing to remember is Joe Biden is incapable. He says he's not against he's not for defunding the police. So I don't support defunding the police. But let's stop playing pretend here for a moment. Let's face facts. Does anybody really believe that this weak, old, borderline senile man, and I don't know which side of the border he's on, but he's borderline senile. Do we really think this weak, fragile old man that we see on TV can stand up to the fury of people like Rashida Tlaib and AOC and the rest of the squad up there, Ilhan Omar, when they come after him saying we've got to defund the police, we've got to go to the far, far, far left fringe radical position, do we really think that Joe Biden is capable of standing up to them and resisting them? No, he's not. And that's the thing to remember. If people say to you, well, you know, I don't agree with defunding the police, and Joe Biden is taking a moderate position, and I can support that, and let's just, like, keep everybody quiet, and let's vote for Joe Biden and get the Democrats in there in November, and everything will calm down, and they'll be able to take care of the crazies. The pressure will be off. No. They're always incapable, constitutionally incapable of standing up to the crazies to their left. They always scream and holler about, you know, the far right and the white supremacists and the neo-Nazis are on the march and they're going to take over and we're not going to let them do that. But when the far left and the black supremacists or the communist supremacists or the most radical faction on the left comes up, they're incapable of standing up to them. Because they actually share, deep down in their heart, they share the same beliefs. They say, well, we agree on the same goals. It's just how to get there where we differ. So they can't really stand up and disagree.
Can I interject a point, Curtis, on what you're saying?
Yeah.
the far left and far right are just different flavors of the same terrorism.
Oh, absolutely right. I agree with you entirely.
Here's my favorite quote recently, Michael. In the areas where there are machine gun-owning Jeffersonian constitutionalists, there are no problems amongst themselves or others. It's not. There is no such thing as right-wing terrorism. What is right-wing terrorism defined by in the media, Curtis? Neo-Nazism? White supremacy? KKK? The Ku Klux Klan? You know that we were talking about the Ku Klux Klan this week in the American press? Who invented all that stuff? Who invented all that? Who's the inventor?
Let me say that, Rich, that you look at it philosophically, the left and the right, the far left and the far right, are the same because they believe in collectivism. You've got the far left talking about collective guilt, you know, white privilege, you know, you live for the state, you live for the group, you have a duty to others, your life is, you have a duty to work for the common good. The far right says the same thing, that it's, you know, white supremacy, and it's a different collective, but it's the same idea. The Ku Klux Klan was there to defend the white race and to defend the, you know, the one group over another. And the left wants to defend one group over another. It's like that joke, you know, capitalism is the exploitation of man by man. Communism is the exact opposite. So it's a different group that's oppressing the different group, but it's the same idea. The thing that stands in opposition to both is the idea of American liberty, the American ideal of individual liberty, that we are individuals with an immortal soul, and we are endowed by a creator with inalienable rights, and we exist for to worship God and to live up to our best ideals. That is where we're coming from. And I just want to say one other thing, and on the pandemic stuff that Larkin was talking about, how the pandemic has disappeared. It's just amazing. I was reading this letter that we had a bunch of these phony public health experts write say that it's okay to have demonstrations and protests. And it is just unbelievable what these people said. They said they wrote over 1,000, about 1,100 so-called public health experts and epidemiologists and epidemiology research fellows and all these people. And it says that infectious disease and public health narratives must be infectious disease and public health experts must be consciously anti-racist. Infectious disease experts must be clear and consistent in prioritizing an anti-racist message. Now, this is the language, by the way, of the Communist Party. You know, the prioritize the message. This is the line. This is the party line. We must be clear and consistent and prioritize. Right? Say. The black people, then they go on to talk about how white supremacy is a lethal public health issue that predates COVID-19. In addressing, so we must support demonstrations against COVID, white supremacy. We must, in addressing demonstrations against white supremacy, our first statement must be one of unwavering support for those who would dismantle, uproot, or reform racist institutions. They protests against systemic racism must also be supported. But then they go on to say that they should not support demonstrations against the lockdown and the shutdown. It's just unbelievable. So it's actually very believable. Our support for these demonstrations should not be confused with a permissive stance on all gatherings, particularly protests against stay-at-home orders. Those actions oppose public health interventions and are also rooted in white nationalism. This is what public health experts are saying. These are the type of health experts that worked in the Soviet psychiatric hospitals where they imprisoned dissidents, the rationale being no sane person could oppose socialism. It shows the corruption of science in our country that is going on now. We are so far down the path to collectivism, fascism, whatever you want to call it, just so far down the path away from our founding ideals and beyond our founding ideals, the Western values of individual liberty, free speech, etc., that are our inherent birthright. We're so far away from that. We're much further along than we recognize. It's frightening when you see a letter like this, and it's gotten no coverage. It's got like one line in to the degree that it's gotten any exposure. They don't tell you, the coverage doesn't say that this is a bunch of garbage. And these are well-educated people that are signing on to this, putting their name on this. Anyway, it's shocking.
You know, Curtis, this is what we're hearing in the news. Has anyone talked to you or through the news media to you to say, what are we going to do to end all this shutdown and get the people back to work? I've been asking people on my Saturday show to fly their flags proudly. Well, on this Sunday, the 14th, America's marking another very important date in American history. It was actually in 1777, on June 14th, that the United States flag was authorized by the United States Congress. And the American flag's red and white stripes symbolize hope, purity, and respectability. And the blue symbolizes loyalty, sincerity, and justice. I really think we have to get back to what the flag represents. Stop all the nonsense with the race, color, creed. Let's get the people back to work. Let's get the people back to learning more and more job skills. Nobody wants to know less today than they will have tomorrow, the availability to learn. And if you're watching the news media, you're only learning negativity. That somehow has to stop. As we celebrate Flag Day, and I mean celebrate, on Sunday, please put your flags out and leave them out for the entire summer season and into the fall, because we have to show people that America is concerned. Before I say another word, I'd like to go to the man who gives 100% of his time and life to America, and that's Mark Andel. And by the way, 100% of the items sold in his stores, including the American flag, you can order them today. And even if you get them a couple days late because of shipping, you'll be able to put it up and have it up for the rest of the summer. Do display your colors. I do at my house all year. And I think it's very important that we show that we're proud of who we are. Let the people be divided. If they want to watch that stuff on TV or whatever, God bless them. I'm looking out for American workers, for America's businesses. We already went through changing times in this country where investors from all over the world came to invest in America. They're foreigners who took over our companies. And now I don't care who owns them as long as Americans have jobs. And I think after this pandemic, we're going to see another wave of foreign investors coming in because they have the specialties. And we're saying bring the jobs back to America. A lot of those jobs are owned by foreigners. That's okay. At least our Americans are employed and they get the profits. Mark Andel, how are you doing?
Excellent. How you doing, Mike, Curtis, Rich, Larkin? Nice to hear from you. Great topics, guy. Great discussions today. A lot going on, Mike. New world, new model, business-wise. I'll start with, the COVID-China crisis. Week 13 we're on. In New York, they almost opened up Phase 2 last Tuesday. And, Mike, I say that because some salons, you could have restaurants with outdoor seating. If you don't have a deck, you needed to get one. And that kind of you know, played with that when they opened, but they were going to let us open our Made in America stores in the malls. We have a few malls, McKinley Mall and Galleria Mall, and Curtis, you might know Western New York a little bit, but they called me, all the local medias, 247, the Buffalo News, and they wanted my opinion why all of a sudden they wouldn't let the malls open, which they were going to last Tuesday. So we prepped, we got ready, we cleaned the shelves, put the stock back in, called some employees. And then all of a sudden they said malls can't open unless you're a store that has an outside entrance. So, Mike, you know, that put us, here we go, we thought we were open and we couldn't. So we did a lot of interviews, and basically I said if Walmart can be open, we should be able to open. You know, if Lowe's is open, we should be able to open. You know, there's so many crazy things with these phases now, and like you said, it's not on TV no more. You see all the riots and the protesting and thousands of people together. So for us, we were shut down three of our stores still. And then One Niagara Falls, our store, we were going to open there. We're on the second floor, closest real estate to the falls. And we were going to open there. They considered it a mall. Then they complained we were less than 100,000 square foot, so they were going to be able to open. But then the protesters or rioters hit, so they had to board all the windows up over the weekend. And you can't make it up. It's like you're in a movie.
It is. It's a horror story.
We couldn't open. You know, One Niagara Falls, the souvenir store, and the border's not open yet. If you go over to Canada now, you got to stay 14 days. So, you know, either way. So that's where kind of our phases are. We're waiting. Phase three is supposed to be next week now, but that's nail salons and some restaurants, some indoor seating. But our malls, we don't know if it's in phase four or if there's a five. So a lot of businesses, Mike, you said last week you're seeing signs. I've got two local restaurants just pulled the plug. So you're seeing effects of the COVID-19 China crisis. And businesses, you know, again, our tour buses, our industry there, the fair is closing. So a lot on that side, we're waiting. You lose all these streams of income. You know, weddings go to next year. There's so many ripple effects to it that people just they just don't grab it sometimes. But we're hanging on. We've, you know, we always, entrepreneurs, this is like Larkin, this is like entrepreneurs in the boot camp of life, you know. You got to adjust daily and try to come up with different ways. And we are madeinamerica.com. I've got to say, Mike, thanks to you guys also, is doing very well. The Made in America movement's doing very well. We've had Roger Zimmermaker on my show yesterday. He first wrote the book, How Americans Could Buy American. And he started in 1996, Mike. He's up to five books. He just released a book called Unconstitutional, stating our founding fathers rejected free trade and so should we. And Curtis, I think you know Roger, but we've been having some great people keeping everybody in line on the movement on the you know, my other radio show. You know, so a lot going on there, Mike. We can't we can't make these times up, but you know, with businesses going out and you see who's going to survive. The PPP did get an extension, I was told, June 8th, where, you know, the 8 weeks may be forgiven till 24 weeks, and the two-year loan may become a five-year. So there's some, if you were lucky enough to get PPP, but a lot of that money on week 13 is gone, Mike. You know,
that's gone, but see, the thing is, people, when they made that statement, Mark, people thought that they were going to get additional money to get, you know, fill in those extra weeks. It's not that way.
Can I ask you something? I'm listening to you talk, so forgive me if I misunderstood, but just to be clear, so I heard you say keep your businesses closed, board up the windows because people are afraid of their livelihoods getting irreparably destroyed, and generally, broadly speaking, living in fear. Is that essentially what I heard?
Yeah, Mike, Rich, when I say One Niagara Falls, we were opening last Tuesday, and then we got a call, don't, and then we got, by Friday, they were boarding the windows up on these large buildings, and don't.
So you boarded up windows, lived in fear, kept your businesses closed. That sounds a lot like terrorism. Mm. Yep. What else is it?
That's a very good point, Rich.
Who are the people? And Mark, you know, where you, I mean, you know, you're up where the militias live, right? Up there, you know, so-called. Who are the people you were worried about? Machine gun owning Adamsian constitutionalists?
No, you know, Rich, you talked about the breakdown of family. Larkin, you've said it forever. You know, what's going on? All lives matter. all American lives matter, all lives matter. And we've got, we've had police, I've had some episodes at the store, won't get into them, but these police officers, men and women, are, you know, like you said, 99% state-of-the-art, got families. They asked us to help them out. You know, a lot of them, they're ashamed to be seen, they're afraid to be seen in a uniform. They had barbecued chickens sent to them just in respect. I've got a lot of friends in the, you know, service, and they need respect. But you know, all the lives matter. We got to go on as Americans. I said a long time ago, one team, one goal. And we've got that news, Mike, you were hitting on the and I blame the media for a lot of this. It's throwing gas on the fire. You got to shut it down. You said it a bunch of times today, Mike. That media is bad. It's like cancer negative. You know, and they're running this show. And it's just a shame, you know. So a lot going on right now. We're holding our own. We got a great team. You know, we don't quit. But you've got a lot of things that just changed to try to keep them income layers, you know, coming into your business, the sales, so to keep the cash flow. That's the oxygen of every company.
Mark,
and we've got to get open in New York, Mike.
Absolutely. We got to get open everywhere. Mark, did you have to lay off any people?
Yeah, so originally I laid off, we were at 33. I brought one back part-time. That's it, Mike. Unfortunately, we're trying to get these mall stores open. That would bring people back. The oil and mining's gone for me at this point, the economy. There's a lot of bubbles floating out there. You close Chevy, Ford, and Dodge, there's no trucks being made for them 3 months. You know, and I've got to order 300 snowplows for trucks for the fall. And if people can't get a truck, so there's... you know, you could go on about, you know, shutting off the economy, what it's done. We're all optimistic. We all got to keep going. But it's a different world.
Now, let me ask you something else, Mark. Have you seen a lot of or heard that there were a tremendous amount of coronavirus cases there in the Buffalo area?
It's funny. So we're in New York. And like you said, my father, Larkin, your wife told you, you know, you're not the first one. So my father, first thing, you don't hear nothing about COVID. All of a sudden, you know, my father's 83 uncensored. We're going to have him do your last radio show, Mike. He's ready.
Hey, bring him on. This I'll tell you. Sometimes when I go on these different shows, and somebody interviewed me the other day, and they said to me, "Well, what do you think about the Black Lives Matter?" I said, "Well, I think all lives matter, but my point is American workers' livelihoods matter. That's the most important thing. I never look at race, color, creed. When you go on a phone to order something, do you ask who are you, what race you are? No, you're trying to perform a job. You're doing your thing. And that is how we have to go back to where it was getting better,
Mike,
a few years
ago. They attack successful business owners like myself and my friends, you know, and here, who's the one that creates the livelihoods? I've watched crazy things in Buffalo where it was blacks or Muslims defending, holding people off, protesters from ruining and looting their stores.
Yeah. Crazy. What is the purpose? What value did that provide to anybody?
Well,
looting of the stores.
Yeah.
And by the way, when you take it home, whatever it was, and you look at it and say, "I stole that." Isn't that a big honor? But people don't understand it.
Yeah,
they do not
things.
Understand what the hell is going on. And the politicians should speak up and say, "Look, this is ridiculous." And I know in certain areas in the Philadelphia area, there were beautifully renovated stores and streets. When the riots started, they went and just wrecked all the stores, mainly owned by the minorities in the area. It was like a special program to get more minorities into businesses. All those businesses were destroyed by the people from the community. So the minority business people were hurt very severely. And that doesn't make any sense either. That makes no sense whatsoever. I want to mention, while I can, Mike Sessions. And Mike Sessions is an unbelievable guy. He's done a lot of good. In fact, I encourage you to click on his link on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and see what he's doing. He's always on the go. Henry and him are always in some kind of contact. And Mark, I hope people are coming to your MadeInAmericaStore.com.
Yeah, you know, with the movement, the Made in America movement's very strong, getting a lot of respect at the store. Our one store that's open is our Elma flagship store, 12,000 square foot of 100% products. A lot of support there from the community and madeinamerica.com. We're working the store-in-store angle. We want to get sections in every store in the country of Made in America 100% products. So, you know, we're not laying down, Mike, by any stretch, but
no,
very challenging times.
The most important thing is this has to stop. Based upon the reports that I've seen, and I did email you a copy of the report that I saw.
I watched it.
Did you look at it?
Yep,
well, I want additional reports, but you know they're hesitant because once somebody makes a decision in politics, they don't ever like to back down. They feel they're being backed up against the wall, that their decision was not correct. I think it's time for everybody to sit down at a table and say, let's get this economy moving away way it should be. Let's, if the people are sick, get them quarantined in a certain hospital on a certain hospital floor, and let's get the rest of the country moving again. 13 weeks is really bad. There is no grants, no disaster loans, no PPP that's going to make up for the loss of 40 million jobs.
Yep. Media is in control, too.
And with that, I have to say, oh my goodness, it's that time already. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as I mentioned earlier, this Sunday is Flag Day. Please do put out your flag. And remember, the red and white stripes represent the original 13 colonies. The white stars and on the blue field represent the individual states that make up America. And you're putting that out in front of your house is a symbol that you're supporting America and helping us to move our economy forward. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a great day. I want to say a thank you to Larkin Conley, Rich Logis, Mark Andel, Curtis Ellis, our engineer Henry Chaplinsky. I'm Michael Blihash. Please do go out of your way. I know more and more businesses are beginning to open up. Go out of your way to support them because they need you more now than you can imagine. The more you spend for the items you need at their stores, the more they will purchase from their suppliers, and the list goes on and on. So thanks for all of your unity and your strength. Don't look at all the national news. Look at your own household. Look how your kids and your family stay in contact with them. Make Flag Day a very special day, and make sure that flag flies proudly in front of your home for the rest of the summer season. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11 here on 860, I wish you and yours the very best. God bless you, and may God bless America.